you don't know what she's talking about, then it's time for Faith Finds Out. Ooh, you don't know, but you're gonna find out.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Faith Finds Out. This is your host, Faith Signs. I'm so excited we're here, episode one. Before we hop in, I did want to say a quick thank you to my wonderful, beautiful, creative, talented friend, Desiree Moore, for creating the theme song for Faith Finds Out that you just heard. So fun. I'm so grateful. She literally just offered to do that for me, and I just want to say really quickly that I have the best friends in the entire universe. I have had so many random texts from people over the last few weeks, ever since I officially announced that I was doing this podcast, from friends just encouraging me and telling me how excited they are to listen, and that has made me feel so loved, but also so much pressure. I will be honest, guys. When I first announced on my personal Instagram and Facebook that I was working on a podcast, I did that solely so that I could not back out. Like, I was trapping myself. Like, you've already told everyone about it, now you have to do it. Because it's vulnerable. It is so vulnerable to create something and put it out in the world and hope people like it. I don't know how, like, artists and musicians, just creative people, entrepreneurs, I don't know how you do it. And I am attempting to follow in your ways, and you're a million times braver than me, but here we go. I will say, I really think, this is such a tangent, but honestly, the first part of every episode, we're just going to be, you know, talking. So I don't really care. I really think that turning 30 was such a big part of me really, really deciding it was time to move on this and really finally having the guts to do that, honestly. I was someone who was so scared about turning 30. I turned 30 during quarantine, so it was March of this year, and I was so scared. Ever since I was like 27, I started dreading it, which now I just look back and I'm like, what a waste of time, because 30 is the best. Has this year been a collective garbage fire? Yeah, obviously. You guys know, you're living it, but it's also been a really wonderful time for me as a over-the-top introvert to just be stuck in my house working on this passion project. This kind of is a passion project, I hate to say it, but it is. It is a project, and I am passionate about it, so I guess those are the rules. But I'm so excited to have been working on this for the past few months and putting all of my blood, sweat, and tears, and more tears, and a little more tears into this, and finally be sharing it with you. It is so exciting. You know, obviously we're going to hop into our very first topic in just a bit, which I'm sure you could see by the title is MK Ultra. But first, I just wanted to take a little bit of time up top and tell you guys more about me and about Faith Finds Out and what you can expect, what I want this podcast to be, and just kind of, you know, my headspace and my heart behind why I'm doing this and why I'm doing this now. So on that note, again, my name is Faith. If I don't know you, hello, nice to meet you, welcome. And I am 30 years old. Like I said, I am single. I live in the Dallas, Texas area with my two dogs who are my children. So I say that with full confidence and don't care if you judge me. I am really obsessed with my dogs. Their names are Brantley and Beatrice. Beatrice, I actually just got about a month and a half ago, and I actually named her after myself. My middle name is Beatrice, and I actually was named after my paternal grandmother. I don't know, when I got Beatrice, I just had like a Lorelai Gilmore moment, and I was like, dudes name their kids after themselves all the time. Like, I'm gonna do that. And so I did. And you know what? She is particular, and she's a diva, and she throws fits when she doesn't get her way, and she eats all the time. So honestly, I think that it's a pretty good fit. Like, I believe she is the perfect child to pass the Beatrice name onto. So those are my dogs. I did spend a solid amount of time talking about them. Honestly, they're pretty much my co-hosts at this point, so you'll see a lot of them on our Instagram if you follow that, which is at Faith Finds Out Podcast on Instagram. You'll see plenty of them. I'm not trying to bribe you with dog content, but at the same time, I do want to bribe you with dog content. So I don't know, take that for what it's worth. I am a corporate recruiter for a tech company. That's what I do for work right now, which has been fun. It's not for me forever, but it's been a really wonderful, really wonderful time. And especially in a time like this, crazy, like over the top, batshit crazy year, like 2020, where we're all stuck in our houses, I realize so lucky to A, still have a job, and B, be able to do that job so easily from home. So definitely something I'm really grateful for. But I gotta tell ya, I have found in the past few years, and I hope no one that works with me hears this, but I am not cut out for a 9-to-5 life. It is not for me, and it doesn't even feel like I'm being, like, true to myself, and that sounds so, like, artsy and kind of silly to me to say, because I have not by nature been a dreamer, so it's kind of hard to pursue my dreams. It's very unnatural to me, but that's what I'm trying to do, you know? I'm so passionate about learning and teaching and just connecting with people, and I've always wanted to create a space like this where, you know, I hope to, you know, build a little community of nerds and just like geek out about all of these exciting things we're learning. This has been just a dream. It really is. And I'm so excited that we're here. So yeah, you know, again, I want to tell you more about Faith Finds Out. So, you know, like I said before, we're going to open every episode and just chat. I hope to, you know, hear from you guys and listen, answer some listener emails and stuff, and just tell you about my week and just be super casual and talk, and then we'll typically take a break, and then we will launch into our topic and learn all of the things about that. And then I would love to have guests and just really be able to talk one-on-one with people who have a much more personal connection to whatever we're talking about, whether it be their profession or something that they that is present in their lives or just closer to them in some way. I love getting to learn about things from people who live those experiences. I just think there is nothing more honest and sincere and genuine than learning firsthand from someone who is brave enough to share experiences or, you know, gracious enough to share their knowledge. All of that is so fun. Obviously, COVID has, you know, made that a bit of a difficult thing for now. So, you know, I don't have any of those coming up. But in the future, I would love to be able to interview experts and different people and just be able to learn from them as well so that I can learn along with you. So, you know, that's pretty much what you can expect from Faith Finds Out. So we are going to be talking about literally anything under the sun. Honestly, anything that I'm curious about, anything I want to learn about. I can't wait to start hearing from you guys about what topics you want to learn about, what you've been curious about, what you've been interested in, and maybe haven't had the time to learn about. You know, I think that that's part of what is going to make this so great, is not only coming from me and my brain, like what I'm curious about, but also for me getting to dig into new things that I never even thought to learn about because you've, you know, heard about it in passing or, you know, partially learned about something and gotten really excited about it. I want to be able to talk about anything. So think about it as just like a miscellaneous class in school where we just learn about honestly whatever we want. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think that, you know, continued education as an adult, I just think is so important. I can't say that enough, but it's something that none of us really have any time to do, right? Like, you have a busy life. I don't know you, but I would assume you have one of the following things. You have a job, a family, you have hobbies and friends and a social life, and you have engagements and responsibilities and, you know, volunteer obligations and all of those things, and you have this full, wonderful life, but not a lot of time, you know, to just sit around and learn for the sake of learning. But, you know, at the same time, I think that's just as important as the other stuff. Like, I think when we're talking about a full, well-rounded life, I think learning is such a massive part of that. But it's not as easy as it used to be, right? Because when we were in school, it was our full-time job, right? To just learn and consume, you know, everything they were teaching us. And what's even more frustrating, and this is such a tangent, but, you now. It's my show. What's even more frustrating about that is I really believe we are learning about some really dumb things. Like, you know, some of it's great, right? Like, math, I get it. We need it. Spelling, reading, writing, thank you for teaching me that. But you know, why in the world did we have to learn, you know, geometry instead of having to learn about debt and credit and saving for your future and building a job resume and how to conduct an interview and how to interview and get a job? And I just mean, we learned about a lot of stuff in school, and I don't think we learned a lot of the important stuff. So, and even when you think about, like, the history that we learned, I mean, don't even get me started. Like, all of the things we didn't learn about the reality of, you know, the history of Black people in America and everything that they faced and like, what? Ugh. Anyway, we learned about a lot of stuff in school, and some of it was great and a lot of it was crap, and we didn't learn about a lot of important things. And so here I am, and I hope I can help. I hope that we can learn it together. And I'm so passionate about being able to, you know, take my just continuous hobby and obsession with learning and, you know, really condense that into podcast episodes for you to consume in the midst of your busy life and just find a really easy way to keep learning. I really, that's my heart in this, and that's what I really want to do. And I think it's just, honestly, I feel like I'm really built for that. I'm the kind of person who, how do I explain it? So you know how you're, like, trying to go to sleep at night, or you're doing some kind of mindless activity, like washing the dishes, and your mind is just kind of aimlessly wandering, right? And you think a question to yourself, like, I wonder why otters hold hands. And you think that to yourself, right? And ordinarily, you would think that, and then kind of shrug and move on and think about something else. Or, you know, maybe think to yourself, like, I wonder why otters hold hands, like in that one GIF I saw, or GIF, potentially, if that's what you say, I'm not here to judge, except you are wrong and it's GIF. And then, you know, you'll maybe grab your phone because you are curious, and you'll Google it and find, like, a really quick 5-second answer, and then you move on with your life. Because, you know, let's face it, that is the appropriate level of importance that fact should hold in your life. But, you know, I'm the kind of person who is trying to fall asleep at night and thinks to herself, I wonder why otters hold hands, and then I can't rest until I find the answer. And more than that, I will think it to myself, and then I will just, like, emerge back into the world 5 days later, and I haven't slept or showered, and I'm, like, a freaking zoologist. Like, that's how much information I have about otters at this point, and, like, it's honestly so ridiculous. And, you know, prior to starting this podcast, there was absolutely no point to it, so, you know, really, I'm just trying to legitimize my addiction, and thanks for helping me. But, oh, just really quick, because it's gonna bother me, I actually know the answer to that question, just in case you guys were curious. Otters hold hands because they sleep on their backs and, like, float in the river, so they, it's so, so cute. They sleep floating, and, so the, like, families, or whatever they're called, I'm not sure, but the otters, like, the mom and their kids, they will hold hands so that they don't, like, separate and float away from one another while they're sleeping. It's called a raft. Isn't that so cute? A little otter raft. Hop on a little otter raft and float down the river. I'm just kidding. Please don't attempt to sit on an otter. That's cruel. So anyway, I just do that by nature. Like, that's just what I do. I love learning, and I spend the time doing it because I don't have any kids and I live alone. So I can spend hours at night just watching documentaries and learning and reading articles and all of that. And so I thought it would be really fun to share what I'm learning with other people who probably don't have the time to do that quite as obsessively as me, and but genuinely still do want to learn. Like, that's interesting. Isn't it cool that you now know why otters hold hands? Like, that's fun. And I'm so passionate about this kind of stuff. And I think it will be a lot of fun to be able to share that with you. And I also think, you know, another reason why I'm so passionate about starting this podcast is, I'm going to sound like such an old person when I say this, but in our society today, there is such an overwhelming amount of information, and it's all at the tips of your fingers. Like, you are one click away from learning about pretty much anything you want to learn about. Like, I could go to the Google search bar and, like, slam my hands down on the keyboard and hit enter, and there would be articles that would come up about whatever gibberish I just entered. That's how much random information is out there. And our news is rapid fire. Like, if you're on Twitter, like, somebody could be giving a speech and there is someone live tweeting it as it's happening. Like, we are getting the news in real time now. And instead of that kind of access to information making us more, you know, open-minded, curious, well-rounded, well-traveled individuals, I think what it does a lot of time is cause us to kind of tighten up, right? And I think what that causes us to do is, I think that actually causes some, like, decision fatigue, right? Where you're like, there's too much information, I don't have time, this is what I want. And you focus in on whatever it is you care about, right? Like, your hobbies, your passions, whatever has to do with your job. If you're a parent, you learn about parenting. If you're really into CrossFit, that's what you consume. Like, you stay up at night and read articles about God, I picked a bad example because I don't know anything about CrossFit. New workouts, maybe? Or, like, activities or something? I've seen people, like, flip tires. Is that, like, a thing? So you're reading an article about tire flipping, and that's what you do with your time at night. And so, anyway, you stick to what you know. You stick to what you already know you like, what you already know you're interested in, and you tend to kind of naturally close off to the rest of the world. If you think about all of our social media platforms, all of their algorithms help us to do that. Like, that's what they're for, right? So, you know, I don't know if you guys got really into TikTok during quarantine. I definitely did. And I will say, within like 30 minutes of watching episodes on TikTok, it was learning me already. And the For You page, which is like the Explore page that's supposed to show you videos they think you'll be interested in, that was already so specifically tailored to me. After 30 minutes, I was already only seeing dog videos, cat videos, you know, skincare videos, because that's what I had already shown the algorithm that I was interested in based on the videos I was liking, the videos that I was skipping after a few seconds versus the ones that I was watching all the way through, the ones that I was saving, the people I was following. It was learning information about what I like and tailoring what it showed me to that, so that whatever I do, I'm never going to get all the way to, like, rocket science TikTok because I haven't shown it I'm interested in that. And I understand, obviously, the importance of that and how that is helpful, and it is. It's so helpful, but it's also just furthering our ability to just lock down on these specific things and close our minds to everything else that's out there. And, you know, I want this podcast to be a place where you can venture out and learn about different things and, you know, just kind of show up on a Wednesday, because there's going to be a new episode of Faith Finds Out every Wednesday, and just see what we're learning about today, right? And I really want it to be all over the map. And I really broke every rule, honestly, when it comes to successfully launching a podcast. I really did. You're supposed to find, like, a niche category and stick to that. And I'm doing the exact opposite very purposely, but I want us to be open to learning about anything. And I really think, again, that just makes us better, more well-rounded people. And I also think it teaches us to have more open minds, right? Like, 2020 is such a polarizing year, right? Like, COVID and the Black Lives Matter movement, all of this stuff is so, they're all such polarizing topics. And I have never seen people so passionately, so loudly, so adamantly stick to one side of the argument, right? Like, you're conservative, or you're liberal, you're a Democrat or a Republican, you're a Christian, or you're, well, everybody else who's not a Christian. And they're like two sides that just yell at each other. And I just, it can be so frustrating to watch and to observe and to take part in, because again, like, on social media, people are only reading what they want to read and they're only watching what they want to watch, right? So you end up in this little echo chamber of people who think like you. So you're just, like, sharing memes back and forth with each other, and everyone who's looking at them already agrees with you, right? So, like, what's that doing? And I just, I think none of us, I just wish that we were all more open to God forbid, changing our minds, right? Like, genuinely just learning new information, enlightening ourselves with new information, hearing about other people's life experiences, and genuinely allowing that to change our minds and not feeling bad about that, right? Like, there is a security that comes with just plain believing something. And I know that. I know that's true. That's what makes it so hard for people who are coming out of cults and things, because everything you thought was real, you're having to kind of shift, right? And I'll say for me personally, you know, I started going to church when I was in high school and, you know, went to a Christian church for years and years and years. And in the church, you just are a Republican, period. Like, they just teach you, you know, subtly and also not so subtly, that to be a Christian is to be a Republican, and that's just the end of the story. And that, like, liberal people are, like, evil somehow. And that's just what it is. And you just don't question it. And as I started getting older, and again, I'm not trying to spark a controversy, I'm just telling you my life experience. As I started to get older, I started really opening my mind and just learning things and allowing that to decide what I believe. Like, genuinely seeking truth and allowing that truth to mold, you know, my belief system. And what I found, you know, I still very much am a Christian. Just to tell you the truth, I love Jesus and I have a very close relationship with him, but I disagree with almost everything that happens in the church, and I really mean that. And I am a progressive kind of postmodern Christian, I guess you could say. And the more that I learned about Jesus, the more liberal I became and the less conservative I was. And the more I started seeing all the flaws in that. And so, you know, obviously that's an example and a pretty controversial one. So again, I'm breaking the rules of launching a podcast here, but I wanted to share that because it's true. You know, the more I learned, the more my opinions started to change based on what I was learning. And that's how it's supposed to be. You know, like, it's been so frustrating watching people talk about the coronavirus and be so frustrated that the advice of, you know, the WHO is changing and the advice of the CDC keeps changing, and they said we didn't need masks and then they said we do need masks, and so, you know, what's the reality? And honestly, like, all of it is, because it's the scientific process. They make a hypothesis and then they work to prove it, and in the process of doing that, sometimes they disprove it or they form new hypotheses about what could be the answer, the solution, the factors, the way that this virus works. And typically that's not being, you know, highly publicized like it is now. It's not under a microscope by the media. So we don't typically see anything but the finished result of them knowing everything about a specific, you know, thing, a disease, a virus, whatever. And so anyway, I'm going off on so many tangents, and I'm sure that there are so many people that are mad at me. And if you are one of my Christian friends, please don't think that I'm an evil person just because I don't vote Republican. I think that would make me a more evil person, frankly. And that's just the way I feel. But again, we're gonna move on here, guys. But I just wanted to take the time and just really tell you why I want to do this and why I think it's gonna be so much fun. I am not someone who's serious very often. When we talk about serious things, obviously I am passionate about teaching them to you, but I want us to have fun. So, you know, I'm going to do my best to, I know that that's all on me, but I'm going to do my best to make this as fun as possible. So thank you so much for listening to me gush about this project. I hope that you like it, and I can't wait for what's to come. I can't wait to keep getting to know you guys and for you to keep getting to know me and just to learn together. I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. I've been having such a good time over here on, like, secret Faith Finds Out Island, and now I'm, you know, coming back and sharing everything I'm learning, and it's terrifying and exciting, and I'm super grateful, and I can't wait. So we're gonna take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're gonna hop right into MKUltra. It is a deep topic. I don't suggest, if you have kids, that they listen to this. There will be other weeks that are much more fun for them. This is not one of them. And finally, I wanted to drop kind of a bombshell and say, you know, in the interest of helping us all to learn to open our minds, myself included, to new things and to learning about all kinds of different things, I'm not going to be telling you what topic comes next. There is going to be no next time on Faith Finds Out kind of an announcement. You're just going to have to drop in on Wednesday and see what we're learning about that day. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Again, against every rule of how to make a podcast successful. So I'm really branching out here, but I just think it's going to be such a fun exercise in opening our minds. If we don't even know what we're in for, you're just going to turn on the episode and listen. And I will say, you know, this kind of leads me to the last couple things I wanted to say before we take a quick break here, but I highly encourage you to follow our Instagram at Faith Finds Out Podcast with that in mind, because I'm going to be posting clues, whether they be pictures or little sound bites of the episode that is to come, and have you guys guess what topic is coming. And I think that's going to be so fun, a really, really fun way to interact with you guys and meet all of you. I can't wait for that. So definitely follow the Instagram. There's also going to be a post associated with every episode so that you can have some kind of visual for what we're learning. So if we're learning about a person, there will be pictures of them, places, buildings, you know that. And then, you know, charts, graphs, whatever information that there is available, it might be helpful to have a visual associated with it that will be posted on Instagram. So lots of awesome things to come on Instagram. I definitely encourage you to follow at Faith Finds Out Podcast. And also, guys, we do have an email. It is faithfindsoutpodcast@gmail.com. Kind of long. faithfindsoutpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you guys. Like I said, email me about anything you want, questions, concerns, you know, corrections, maybe that's totally possible. And most importantly, guys, I cannot wait to hear from you about what you want to learn about in the future. What topics are you curious about? What do you want me to consume and obsess over and share with you? So anything, I want to be like your, consider me, you know, like a new Ask Jeeves, okay? So email me what you want to learn about. I'll do all the heavy lifting and I'll come and teach you about it. So that's what we'll do. I honestly can't wait to hear from you guys. Again, feel free to email me about anything that you want. Absolutely feel free to email me pictures of your dogs and cats. Always welcome. And so yeah, definitely email, follow the podcast on Instagram, and obviously if you like what you're hearing, you know, please subscribe. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please, you know, rate 5 stars and leave a comment. That really, really helps this podcast get in front of more eyes, right? So it really helps with the Apple Podcast algorithm so that more people can see and find out about the podcast. So that would be a big help for me. If you would subscribe and download on whatever platform you're listening, that would be really helpful. So, you know, and also I can't say it enough. Tell your friends if you enjoy Faith Finds Out and you want it to continue. I mean, I'm always going to be doing this, even if I have like 3 listeners, but tell your friends about it. Share the podcast on your socials if you want, and just tell your friends to listen. That would be super helpful as well. And so, yeah, we're going to take a quick break. Actually, not so much of a break for you, but I'm going to take a break and go check on my dogs and get some more coffee probably, and when we get back we're gonna jump into MK Ultra. Okay guys, we are back. So there are a couple quick things I want to preface before we hop into MK Ultra. So number one, like I said at the very beginning, this is a topic that has so many conspiracies around it and directly involved in it, and there's a lot of crazy stuff. And you know what, I shouldn't even say crazy, because once you learn about what actually happened, like the facts of just what we know happened, which is limited, we have a limited view, the conspiracies don't sound crazy. Honestly, they don't sound that crazy, but I wanted to say we are not going to get into any conspiracy theories today. So yes, there are a lot of them, and yes, some of them are fascinating, and I will encourage you to go look at them after. We're going to stick to the facts when it comes to what we talk about, both in this episode and in part 2 that, again, is also posted, so go check that out when you're done here. But so no conspiracy theories, we're just learning about the facts, everything that we know happened, that's what we're going to stick to, simply because that's just, I don't know, it's a lot. It's 2020, times are stressful, I don't want to make them more stressful with, like, scaring people with conspiracy theories, and it's just not where your mental and emotional energy should be directed right now, frankly. And then also, I wanted to say, this is the kind of topic that there's just There is so much to learn about. There is so much depth to this. I'm sure that there are podcasts where the whole show or season is specifically dedicated to this. So, you know, in the interest of keeping this to the two episodes I've designated, we are going to cover a more basic, I want to give you a more well-rounded view of what happened rather than getting really, really deep into some of the details. So, you know, again, I'm going to give you all of my resources so that you can go learn more if you want to, and I encourage you to. It probably will be a lot of fun, but we're going to stick to the basics and a little extra, I guess. We're going to stick to a mid-level overview. You know, we're definitely going to get into some stuff and learn everything we can in two episodes. So on that note, let's go ahead and dive in. So I guess let's start, you guys, with World War II. So 4 days after the official end of World War II in May of 1945, then Prime Minister Winston Churchill sent a telegram to then US President Harry Truman, warning him that tensions were high with the Soviet Union and it would be unwise for them to put their military guards down, so to speak. So that tension that he was talking about obviously very quickly turned into what is now known as the Cold War era, which we're not going to get into today, guys, but if I could summarize the Cold War era to you, it essentially was just a decades-long pissing contest between the US and the Soviet Union, but that's just one woman's opinion. So anyway, with all of that in mind, finally on July 26, 1947, President Truman issued an executive order establishing the CIA, or Central Intelligence Agency. Now, prior to that, during World War II and before, there definitely was a more undefined area of the government that was functioning the way that the CIA now functions, right? So there was the CIC and other programs that preceded the CIA that were already beginning this work. So the CIA was officially started in 1947, and all of the precarious projects, maybe all of the sort of clandestine projects that were happening, kind of got moved under the CIA's supervision. So throughout its history, those who support the CIA comment on its large contribution to the containment of communist expansionism and, of course, the ultimate collapse of the Soviet Empire. Though for many, some of the measures by which the CIA operates is thought to be extreme and unconstitutional, because the CIA specializes in national security through what they refer to as HUMINT, or human intelligence. The CIA's own website defines HUMINT as any information that can be gathered from human sources through clandestine acquisition of photography, documents, and other materials, overt collection by people overseas, debriefing of foreign nationals and U.S. citizens who travel abroad, we all know that, and official contacts with foreign governments. Though, as we now know, this was not the only way in which the CIA, quote-unquote, uses humans for the sake of national security, which brings us to its most well-known and highly criticized project known as MKUltra. But first, let's circle back to World War II just really quick. We won't get too far into this today, but as I'm sure you know, during World War II, around 1.65 million Jewish people were held in concentration camps, otherwise called death camps, by the Nazi Party in and around Germany. About 1 million of those people eventually died in those camps, and while there, many of them became unwilling subjects in various experiments performed by Nazi scientists, rocket engineers, and medical doctors. Many of these experiments centered around a search for mind control drugs and other methods of mind control, largely for military purposes. Immediately following VE Day, which is Victory in Europe Day, May 8th, 1945, signaling the end of World War II, all of the Nazis and other war criminals that were captured were being put on trial for all of their war crimes. These came to be known as the Nuremberg Trials, named after Nuremberg, Germany, where the trials were held. The trials were approved by President Harry Truman in May of 1945 and were carried out by the United States, Great Britain, and the Soviet Union in November of 1945. One of these trials came to be known as the Doctors' Trials, wherein the medical doctors and scientists who had performed these experiments were also put on trial. Those who were captured, anyway. Of those tried, 7 were put to death, 11 were given prison sentences, and 5 were acquitted of their charges. From the Nuremberg trials also came what is known as the Nuremberg Code, again largely written by the US, Great Britain, and the Soviet Union. The Nuremberg Code is a set of research ethics principles for human experimentation, things that I cannot believe at any point in time were not already established rules. Things like written and signed consent became a requirement, obviously, and also a total avoidance of all unnecessary pain, be it physical, emotional, or psychological, that does not directly benefit the experiment itself, and other guidelines like that. Honestly, this is now thought by many to be an outright propaganda move by the US, and that's really because at the same time that President Harry Truman was overseeing the creation of this code and the trials of those involved in what he deemed inhumane experimentation, he also, behind the scenes, was approving the creation of the CIA and a new CIA-led project by the name of Project Paperclip. So, Project Paperclip was the acquisition of more than 1,600 German soldiers, scientists, and engineers, many of whom were a part of these experiments that happened in the concentration camps, and they were a part of, and even leaders of, the Nazi Party. So, the primary purpose for this was, of course, US military advantage in the Soviet-American Cold War, and, get this, the space race, which we will definitely talk about it another time. So the Soviet Union did this as well, and they were much more forcible with their similar operation and actually acquired more than 2,200 German specialists. But for the sake of this episode, we're sticking with the US for now. So let's really just take a beat and unpack this, guys, okay? So the CIA captured these German specialists and took them as prisoners without a trial to the US to work in our labs for us and live in secret among the US population. So they willingly took Nazis and kind of implanted them in our society for the sake of their experiments that they wanted to carry out and the help that they wanted from these German scientists that were already more advanced than we were in these research goals. The successful acquisition of these 1,600 specialists led to the creation of MKUltra very directly. So now here we are finally at MKUltra. The CIA director at the time, Alan Welsh Duels, who already sounds really douchey if you ask me, but honestly, like, tons of white people have super douchey names. Honestly, just let's face it. On April 13th, 1953, he officially established MKUltra. Though again, I can't stress enough, a lot of these projects had already began before the official creation of this project, and it kind of became the umbrella under which they moved all of their clandestine operations and everything that had the same sort of goal in mind. So some of the experiments we're going to talk about precede the official beginning of MKUltra, but were picked up by MKUltra as soon as the project was created. So anyway, Alan Welsh Duels creates MKUltra, and he assigns a man named Sidney Gottlieb as the head of the project. Let's talk about Sidney Gottlieb. There's a lot to say. So Sidney joined the CIA originally as a poison expert who wanted, guys, he wanted, okay, to become known as the, quote, black sorcerer and the, quote, dirty trickster. So, you know, obviously this guy was very chill and didn't want any trouble at all. He also had a peg leg, which doesn't mean a lot right now, but it's going to come back around, so just keep that in mind for later. You'll have fun. He personally supervised the preparation of lethal poisons and almost all of these experiments in mind control under MKUltra. So from start to finish, they spent around $10 million on this project, which in today's money would be over $96 million with inflation. So the scale of this project, I think, is really important. There is very clear documentation with the sort of motive and goals of this project listed. And honestly, I really do think it's best to just read this to you verbatim, because I want you to hear exactly how they phrased it, like, very specifically. So there are 17 points here in this sort of declaration, and I'm going to read it verbatim to you. So this 1955 MKUltra document that was recovered gives an indication of the size and range of the effort. It refers to the study of an assortment of mind-altering substances described as follows. That sentence was copied directly from Wikipedia, by the way. Which, side note, people rag on Wikipedia, and I agree it's not where you need to get all your information because, of course, a lot of people can contribute to it. So there are obviously always going to be issues with getting 100% correct information, but it's a great baseline, guys. So if you're doing your own research at home, Wikipedia is a great baseline to gain your original understanding of the scope of what you're talking about, and then definitely go to other sources to get confirmation on details and much more in-depth information, but don't be scared of Wikipedia. It's a great starting point. It's a great place to begin. So anyway, this document refers to an assortment of mind-altering substances described as follows. Substances which will promote illogical thinking and impulsiveness to the point where recipients would be discredited in public. That's why I wanted you guys to hear exactly what they said, because it's all that crazy. Substances which increase the efficiency of mentation and perception. Materials which will cause the victim to age faster or slower in maturity. Materials which will promote the intoxicating effects of alcohol. Materials which will produce the signs and symptoms of recognized diseases in a reversible way so that they may be used for malingering, which is feigning illness. Materials which will cause temporary or permanent brain damage and loss of memory. Substances which will enhance the ability of individuals to withstand privation, torture, and coercion during interrogation and so-called brainwashing. Materials and physical methods which will produce amnesia for events preceding and during their use. Physical methods of producing shock and confusion over extended periods of time and capable of surreptitious use. Substances which produce physical disablement, such as paralysis of the legs, acute anemia, etc. Substances which will produce a chemical that causes blisters, obviously for torture, I would assume. Substances which alter personality structure in such a way that the tendency of the recipient to become dependent upon another person is enhanced. A material which will cause mental confusion of such a type, the individual under its influence will find it difficult to maintain a fabrication under questioning. Substances which will lower the ambition and general working efficiency of men when administered in undetectable amounts. Substances which promote weakness or distortion of the eyesight or hearing faculties, preferably without permanent effects. A knockout pill which can be surreptitiously administered in drinks, food, cigarettes, as an aerosol, etc., which will be safe to use, provide a maximum of amnesia, and be suitable for use by agent types on an ad hoc basis, and a material which can be surreptitiously administered by the above routes, and which in very small amounts will make it impossible for a person to perform physical activity. Ugh, you guys, that took me so long to read. I had to start over again and again and again. That was really hard for me. I really struggled. So the original goals are listed above. You know, just to kind of dissect them a little bit more, there were two main categories that these things fall into that were the sort of ultimate motives for MKUltra. Number one, they wanted to find substances, materials, methods of hypnosis to use against our war enemies. So, you know, obviously the Soviet Union, but also, you know, MKUltra documents that were recovered talk about several different plots against Fidel Castro in Cuba. So it really was, you know, communism in general that was the supposed enemy here. So they wanted all of these materials that they could potentially use on our enemies, but they also were working on finding materials that they could use on our own high-ranking officials. So their desire here was to create a sort of disassociative personality in someone that they could put behind an amnesia wall, which we'll talk more about when we go into the specific experiments. But just to kind of explain what that means generally, they wanted to create the ability to pass along information through soldiers by creating a sort of amnesia wall they can hide behind. Meaning that if there was a soldier named John, there would be John A., who is the original John, who has all of John's memories, personality, thoughts, you know, all of everything that precedes this moment in time. And then, you know, through things like hypnosis and sleep deprivation and these drugs that they were working with, they could create this sort of ulterior personality that we'll call John B. And then they would tell John B all of these, like, military secrets or what have you. And theoretically, you know, John A could get captured and be a prisoner of war, and they could torture him all they wanted and not be able to get any information out of him because he genuinely, truly doesn't know them. So that was their goal. Obviously, that sounds like a crazy conspiracy theory, and it's all true. So, you know, goes to show you some conspiracy theories are bound to be true, guys. So most all of the MKUltra experiments were contracted out to various universities and research foundations so that volunteer participants in the various studies didn't know that it was related to the government at all. And many of the actual institutions that were contracted out were just on behalf of the U.S. Army. So they thought that they were working with the Army, and the true origins of the experiment with the CIA were really never known to them. So let's talk for a moment about LSD. So early on in MKUltra, and again a bit before, the leaders of the project really zeroed in on LSD, and they were convinced that this is the magical drug. This is the drug that, you know, when tailored to their specific needs, would give them everything they wanted. Total control over people, just complete mind control over their enemies, over their soldiers. You know, Sidney Gottlieb especially was just convinced this is where it's at. So all of these experiments originally all surrounded around LSD, and they very quickly realized that the scale of the project would be much too small for their purposes if they stuck solely to their volunteers, which leads us to the part of this that makes it so controversial, so scary for people, and where all of the conspiracy theories really began. And it's the rough truth of this, which is that they very quickly started experimenting on people without their consent or their knowledge that it was happening, okay? So first of all, they started within the CIA, okay? So MKUltra falls under a team called the Technical Services Staff in the CIA. That is the department where all of the clandestine meetings occurred. Side note, guys, I love the word clandestine, and I'm so happy that I get to use it so much today. Anyway, so when you think about the CIA undercover in costumes with gadgets, all of that, what you're picturing, that's the technical services staff, right? So that's what, that is the sort of umbrella under which MKUltra sat. So in the early days of MKUltra, it was very common that the people who worked in this department would just randomly get drugged and without their knowledge. So you would go to work in the morning and pour yourself a cup of coffee that was laced with LSD, and then there would be people that would just observe what you did when you were tripping at work. This very quickly became like a known hazard of the job. Like, that's just what you have to deal with working for the CIA. You might get drugged. Which is just so crazy to me. But it gets worse, okay? Because obviously they very quickly moved on to other people. And if you are someone who, like me, is interested in true crime, this isn't going to be at all surprising to you. You can, I'm sure, say it with me. They started with mental patients, prisoners, drug addicts, homeless people, and sex workers. Who one agency officer actually was quoted as saying, quote, people who could not fight back. In other words, people who would not be missed and people who no one would search for. So let's pause here with all the facts and information, and I'm gonna rant for a minute. You knew it was coming if you know me, and if you don't, welcome. Here I am ranting. So this is something that has always happened in our country. Instead of seeing a marginalized community and making a plan on how we can help these people, we use them for our own selfish purposes, or we ignore them, or we further alienate them. And I'm not anti-American or any of those things, and I don't want to sound like I have an aluminum hat on my head. I do, but that's not the point of this. I want us to think when it comes to things like this Black Lives Matter movement that is happening right now, and this this early on, this desperation for simply just proving to people that there's a problem here, which honestly blows my mind, but that's where so much of our effort has been, and the Black community has been fighting so hard for so long just to get people to believe that there is a problem here. But I want you to think about things like this and to realize this is how our government has always treated marginalized communities. Instead of helping them to get back on their feet, they are used, ignored, or further alienated. And it's really a problem. And it's a problem that the mindset of these people so naturally... Because think about it. There was a group of scientists who were all brainstorming in meetings thinking, what can we do to get more participation? Somebody floated the idea, let's kidnap drug addicts, homeless people, and sex workers off the streets and force them to take part in it because no one's going to go looking for them. Let's go to mental institutions and pay the doctors to allow us to perform experiments on their patients. Let's go to prisons and do experiments on these people because they don't have rights right now. And everyone sitting in that board meeting was like, yeah, that sounds good. That's a pretty good idea. And no one questioned it. Like, that's what our government has always done with marginalized communities. And I didn't want to skip over that and not stop and talk about it because it's a problem. And again, if you're someone who's interested in true crime, you know that very well. When a sex worker goes missing or a drug addict teenager goes missing, they're just called runaways and they're like, And no one cares, and no one looks for them, and the efforts of the police or the FBI are so dramatically less than they would be if it was, like, a nice little blonde white girl who was stolen out of a suburban neighborhood. Then it would be the biggest deal, and no one would rest until that girl was found. But with these other communities, it's not like that, and they have to fight so hard just to be seen and acknowledged and get help, and we're doing a terrible, terrible job, so... I'm gonna stop with my ranting, but I didn't want to pass over that. I wanted to make sure that we talked about it. So guys, I think that this is a good stopping place for episode one. What I really, really wanted to do today was just set the stage. I wanted to tell you how MKUltra got started, what the goals and the focuses of MKUltra was, and you know, on the next episode, which again is already live, so you can go listen right now, we're going to get into the specifics of these experiments. We're going to learn what they were doing to people, how they found people, how these experiments were working, and then we're going to talk about the unraveling of MKUltra and the very public outcry that followed. We're going to talk all about specific people that took part in these experiments unwillingly. We're going to talk about people who led these experiments. We're going to circle back to dear old Sidney Gottlieb and talk about his leg. We're gonna really, really get into it. So I'm really excited. Again, this has been so much fun for me to geek out on, and I hope that you're curious. I hope that you are excited to go over to episode two and keep listening. You know, as we're wrapping up here, guys, I just want to say thank you so much again for listening. So, you know what? If this was fun, if you enjoyed listening today, I would love it if you would share this podcast with your friends, whether it be on your socials or you know, however, and really help me get this podcast in front of more people. Again, subscribe, download. If you're on Apple Podcasts, rate 5 stars, leave a comment. That really helps me out. And then again, please follow us on Instagram at Faith Finds Out Podcast. Email me, faithfindsoutpodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear from you. I can't wait to hear from you and meet you and chat with you. So definitely connect with me there. Next week, we've got a really exciting topic coming up with episode 3. I can't wait. I'm going to say that probably every time, but I'm really serious. This was a lot of fun. Episode 3 is going to be great. So guys, really quick, I did want to end this episode just by telling you about some resources where I got some of this information and what you can check out for future reference. So I will say, I watched 2 documentaries that were both incredibly, incredibly helpful. One is called The CIA's Secret Experiments, and it focuses on something we haven't talked about yet. We're going to talk about it in episode 2. It's a crazy story. And it's just, it's so fascinating to hear from people that experienced this firsthand. It's a fascinating and relatively short, I think it's about an hour long, documentary special. And I highly encourage you to check it out. The other documentary that I watched was called Mind Control : MK Ultra. So very simple title. This documentary has so much great information. So with that in mind, I do encourage you to watch, but I did want to say, this was the craziest documentary I've ever watched, and that's saying something because I've watched a lot of documentaries, and I don't mean that the subject matter was crazy, even though it obviously is. What I mean is the B-roll that they used in this documentary, while the narrator is telling you all about MKUltra, is the craziest stuff I've ever seen, guys. Like, I don't even know how to prepare you for it. Do not watch it in front of your children. And again, a lot of great information, so I encourage you to check it out, but it's crazy stuff and was one of the most weirdly produced documentaries I've ever seen. But additionally, history.com is always a great resource when we're talking about stuff like this. Wikipedia, like I said, was another great one. I read a lot of great stuff from an article by Robert D. Marther. He's a PhD, social psychologist. He is a conservative social psychologist. He wrote an article on Psychology Today that talks about the government mind control experiments that happened with hypnosis and LSD, and gets into some really crazy stuff that we'll talk more about next time, but a great article by Robert D. Marther. And again, I can't wait to keep talking about this in the next episode. So thank you guys again so much for listening. I can't wait for next week. I'm so happy that you decided to join me, and I'm really excited for what's ahead, guys. I think this is the beginning of something really fun, at least for me. So I hope that you join me for the ride, and I'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much for listening to Faith Finds Out. This is Faith Signs Out.